desire and interest in your prayers that the Spirit of the Lord would just minister to each one of us. I know that we, all of us are unique this morning. Just look over the congregation. We have different backgrounds, lots of different personalities, different strengths, different weaknesses. I know that a number have been struggling with various physical needs. There are some, I'm sure, that some of you may have some financial needs, and some of you have, all of us have spiritual things that we're looking to the Lord for and wanting to gain some victories and gain ground. And I know that there are some of those things you can see visibly. You know, if someone's sick, sometimes you can look at them and know they're sick. But there are deeper things as well. There are wounds that probably some of you have this morning that we cannot see from just looking at you. You can smile and shake hands and look all pleasant, and yet there are some deep wounds and hurts that you may be dealing with this morning and wrestling with. We're here this morning to worship the Lord. That's why we're here. But yet we come with our needs to the Lord. We believe in the power of God this morning. I believe in the power of God. I believe that God is able to do all things. I believe that He is able to work miracles. And sometimes our faith, and I'll point to those that saw the picture that Evan shared this week, that grain of mustard seed. You don't think, well, I've got faith like that, but sometimes I don't see the mountains move, and it's like, is my faith even smaller? Is my faith even smaller than a grain of mustard seed? But I believe this morning. So Lord, help my unbelief. Amen. I believe in the power of God, and I believe that God wants to work in each and every one of our lives. I'd like us to take a little step back for just a few minutes and consider the disciples. We're going to begin reading in Mark in the fourth chapter. But prior to this time, the disciples had seen a leper cleansed from leprosy. They had seen the centurion's servant, he was healed at the word of Christ. Jesus didn't even need to go. He just said the word, and the centurion's servant was healed. The disciples, Peter was one of the disciples, his mother had been very sick, and Jesus healed her. There had been devils that had been cast out, and the disciples had seen the devils cast out. He had healed, the scripture says prior to this, all manner of sickness and disease. Now, wouldn't that be one that you'd want to be in His presence? I mean, this is someone, He can do anything. He can bring the dead back to life. If you're on your deathbed, He can heal you. If you have leprosy, if you have cancer, if you have whatever your problem is, Jesus can take care of it. If you have an addiction, if you are bound by spirits, just get in the presence of Jesus and He has all power. Yeah. Now that is one that it would be wonderful to have walked the earth with Him, isn't it? Wouldn't it have been? To see that with the eyes, but blessed are those that have not seen and have believed this morning. Blessed are those that have not seen Jesus in the flesh, because we have seen Him in the Spirit, have we not? Yeah. Have we not experienced the power of God in our life? And yet, when times of unbelief come, when we begin to question, where is God? Why isn't God working? I can look at the past and I can say, I believe in God. I believe in His power, because last year when I was struggling, the Lord came through and He worked a miracle. So why am I going to allow the devil to steal and hinder my faith today? And yet we are human. With our needs and our problems and our struggles, we will come to times that we can begin to even ask ourselves, Lord, do You not care? Have you ever wondered if God really cared about you? Have you ever been in a circumstance like, Lord, if You cared, I wouldn't be going through this. The reality is, you might be going through it because He does care. But He just sees a whole lot more than what we see. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, He said unto them, Jesus spoke to His disciples, and He said, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, They took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. You know, the disciples were kind of in a select group. They weren't considered one of the multitude. They were one of the remnant. They were some of those few that said, Lord, we are going to leave our nets and we're going to follow you. We're going to leave our jobs and we're going to follow you. So it was not happenstance that they were in the boat with Jesus. Jesus sent the rest of them away. And yet this inner group was with Jesus in the boat. I hope you're in the boat this morning. Are you in the boat with Christ? Or are you just kind of in the multitude? See, after the service is over today, everyone's welcome to go to the park and we'll have a cookout. That sound all right? But you know, there are people that followed for the loaves and the fishes. Well, if I can get some free, I never really understood that. I would rather just go without. But there are some people that say, well, there's going to be food. Let's go. And that'll bring them in. You know, the Lord still loved the multitude. He still loved them even though they were there. So if you came to go to the park today, I'm glad you're here. But you know what? The Lord has something better. He wants you to get in the boat with him. He wants you to be willing to say, Lord, no matter what's going on, I'm going to serve you. And so they were in the ship, and it said there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. This was not just a little rainstorm. They were in the ship with Christ, and there was a great storm. First of all, saints, just because you love the Lord this morning, and just because you have been saved and you're following the Lord, it does not make you exempt from the storms of life. You say, well, I'm just wanting showers of blessings. There's going to come some storms that are going to fill up your boat. And you know what happens when the boat gets full? What happens to the boat? It's going to start sinking. And this was the disciples. I'm with this man, the Son of God, that I've seen perform all these miracles, and the storm still came. Do not judge God's love for you or his care for you based upon the weather. Mm-hmm. Well, things are going really good. God's been good to me. Yes, he's been good to you, but when the storm comes, he's still been good to you. It doesn't minimize his love. It doesn't minimize his care because the storms are going to come. Well, it was a storm of wind. The waves beat on the ship. And he was in the back part of the ship. And you know what the scripture says? It said he was asleep on a pillow. Now, if he was in the bottom on a pillow, he would have been covered with water. So the word pillow here in the Greek, it bears out that in a lot of ships, you know, there is a bed or a hammock. And some of the historians said in these little boats or ships, you know, there'd be a hammock or something. So he was probably raised up or else he would have been underwater. And just for the record, Jesus is not underwater in your storm this morning. All right? He's not underwater. The ship may feel like it's filling up with water and it seems like you're about to sink. Jesus is not drowning, all right? Where you may start feeling overwhelmed, Jesus is not overwhelmed. When the storm seems like surely we're going to perish, God is not going to perish. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And if I'm going to be in a storm, I want to be in a boat with Jesus. Because if he's not there, I might sink. But if I'm with Jesus, even when the boat gets filled up, I don't know how I can handle anymore. Wait, Jesus is in the boat. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. But the storm was still there. It was a reality. And the realities of our struggles are real. It's real life. Well, he was asleep. And I kind of wonder, have you ever thought someone was asleep? This was their perspective, right? He's asleep. And we're sitting here. I mean, how can you be asleep when your boat's going like this and the water's rising and the waves are hitting the side of it and the thunder and lightning? And I just wonder if Jesus was kind of doing that. You know what I'm talking about? It's like if you ever thought someone thought you were asleep and it's like you get on the airplane, you don't want to talk. And it's like, is the food coming yet? Drink, I'm thirsty. But you're asleep the rest of the time till the cart comes. You know what I'm talking about? I wonder if Jesus was really asleep. Now, it said he was asleep. That was, from their perspective, he was. He knows what's going on. Jesus knows what's going on this morning. If it seems like he's asleep in your trial, if it seems like Jesus has gone to sleep in the middle of your storm, I want you to know that he knows what's going on. You're not alone this morning. You're not going to have to face the storms of your life by yourself. So he was asleep, and they came, and it does say they woke him, doesn't it? They woke him up. And they said, it means that the storms of life don't affect him like it does us then. I mean, I know it's one thing to think about him actually being awake, but he said they woke him up, which means our storms that are so big and traumatic to us, it's like this to the Lord. I'm God. It's okay. I'm in control. And we're like, Lord, they woke him up, it said, and they said, this is what they said. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you not care, Lord? Have you ever wondered if the Lord really cared? Lord, do you really care? It just seems like you've kind of left me, Lord. It seems like you don't really have a lot of care. Well, there are going to be times in life that it feels as though. I said feel. Can't live on feelings. It's going to feel as though God has abandoned you. It's going to seem like that the Lord just isn't working like he should. And we can feel alone, and we can begin to feel tired, and we can begin to feel overwhelmed, and we can begin to feel even possibly disgruntled with circumstances. And if we're not careful, we're going to begin to ask, Lord, do you not care? I read about a man in Germany that was found, this was years ago, this man in Germany was found in his home dead, sitting on the couch, watching television. He'd been there for 5 years, watching television dead. Television was going, and a skeleton was there on the couch. Seemingly, he must have not had a relationship. No family, no friends, nobody to check on him, say, well, what's going on with this man? What's going on? And he was there, and when they finally, someone went in the house, he'd been there 5 years. You know, sometimes people can almost start to feel that way about God, because surely someone would have found him. I mean, if I didn't show up, how long would it take if I stopped showing up for services here before someone would check on me? Would 5 years? You know, I would hope, I would like to think that someone would at least say, hey, well, where's Brother Michael? You know, if I'm dead, I hope it's not 5 years before someone finds me, but at that point I wouldn't care. But it would be nice to know that someone had enough concern, isn't it? And the reality is that sometimes in our storms, we can start feeling probably like that man did before he even died. I'm here sick, and I don't have the strength to get off the couch, and no one's checking on me. No one's calling. No one's knocking to see, hey, are you doing okay? And the enemy would like us to feel that way about God sometimes in the deepest, darkest storms that we go through. Lord, and that's what they ask him. Do you care? They're telling God, we're perishing. Do you not care that we're perishing? Well, life may be going on around about you, and it may seem that God has left you. And it may seem like that the Lord has stopped. You may have enough faith this morning to believe that God's still there, but your faith doesn't take in that God is working for you anymore. Because, you know, I know God is there, and so I have enough faith for that. But it just seems like he's not working in my behalf anymore. He's not answering my prayers. It seems like we pray and pray and pray, and the answer is still not coming. If you've ever, those of you that are parents and had a sick baby, sick child, desperate before God. Talk about desperation when your children get sick and it's, Lord, we need you now. We are desperate. I know I've shared before, but I remember holding, I guess it was Ethan. I remember he was having the febrile seizures, and I remember they would go on and on and on, turning blue, not breathing. You want to talk about something that's scary in the flesh. Lord, do you not care? Do you not care, Lord? He came through for us. He came through for us. I don't know what's rocking your boat this morning, but I want you to know that God does care. He's interested in you this morning. Even when it feels like and it seems like that He's not, He is aware of what's going on. Lord, do you care? This is what Jesus did. Then it said, He arose and He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid this morning? What's causing you fear? He said, How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? When I first read that, I was a little troubled. I thought, well, He said, why do you have no faith? And I thought, Lord, I'm in the boat with you. If I didn't have any faith, I'd still be out with my nets, or I'd still be at the seat of custom. But Lord, I had enough faith in you to leave my job, and I'm in the boat with you, Lord. The account in Matthew doesn't say no faith. The account in Matthew says, O ye of little faith. In other words, you could have a whole lot more faith. But sometimes our faith is little, isn't it? Because the storms are real. But He knows. And He does care. And He is concerned. And you say, why are you fearful? Well, Lord, kind of scratch your head. Let me tell you the reasons. Do you see the wind? You feel the wind, you see the waves. You know, look above you, Lord. I mean, you're asking me, why am I fearful? Isn't it pretty obvious? I mean, that's kind of when we were children, it was kind of one of those no duhs. I think that's an antiquated expression. When you say no duh, some of you probably don't even know what that is. I don't know. But it's like one of those expressions, it's like, why am I fearful? It's like it's pretty obvious. But what the Lord was wanting to do, He was wanting them to get some perspective. Yes. I know the storm is there, but do you remember who I am? Do you remember that I am all-knowing and all-powerful, and you are in the boat with me? So why are you afraid? Yes. Because I'm not going to die. God is not going to let you down this morning. No matter how dark your night gets, no matter how the storm rages in your life, it might be tonight, the sun may be shot today, the sun might be shining on you spiritually, but there will come a time through loss of loved ones, through spiritual difficulties, through physical battles, through problems in relationships, you may get to a place that's, Lord, do you not care? And I want you to remember, the Lord cares, and if you're in the boat with Him, you're going to make it. And it will defy understanding, because that's why they were so amazed. How can this man, what manner of man is this, that He said, peace, be still. And at that time, the waves calmed down and the storm stopped. But I want you to remember this, Jesus calmed the storm, but before He calmed it, there was a storm. Well, if I serve the Lord, it's going to be a cakewalk. You know what a cakewalk is? You walk along the chairs while the music plays and you sit down. If your number's on it, you get a cake. It's like, that's pretty inviting, isn't it? If you like cake. You know, that sounds like, oh, let's have a cakewalk. You know, it's just, it's ease, it's blessings. The Lord has a lot of blessings for us in life, but until we get to heaven, there will be some storms. Let's not question God's love. Let's not, I know instinctively in the flesh, they did, Lord, do you not care? I imagine that probably all of us have in some way or another asked that question. Lord, really? I mean, are you there? Why? But he's going to see you through the storms. You're going to make it this morning. They had to come to him, though. Do you realize that? Jesus didn't just get up and say, oh, look, there's a pretty... The storm is brewing. Just hold on to sight. Let me speak to the wind. Slow down a little bit here. No, he let it get to a place to the disciples were desperate. And then in their desperation, they came and woke him up and said, Lord, we need you. Sometimes the Lord's going to wait for you to come to him. And it's going to be when you also are in a desperate place. That does not mean God has forsaken you. It means he has allowed a storm to come to get you in a place that you are willing to listen to what he has to say. It means to get you in a place that you will realize I am dependent on the Lord. I cannot do this by myself. The Lord does not want you to fail spiritually this morning. But if I were to ask for a show of hands, is there any of us that after we have been saved, we have fallen short of what God wanted? I will raise my hand. It was not God's will that I fell short. But I will say this. In falling short, it reminded me of my desperate neediness of God's power in my life that I cannot do this by myself. Lord, today I need your help because without it, I will not be able to make it. Without that kind of desperation before God, we would become a self-righteous people. And so the Lord can take even the stumbles. And he can make it to give us perspective, to remind us that you need me. God is not forgotten. They had to come to him. In Luke 10, and for the sake of time this morning, I'll give you the reference, but it's in the 10th chapter of Luke, in the 39th and 40th verse. Remember when Jesus was there at the home of Lazarus at the time, and Mary and Martha were there, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was busy taking care of the guest. She was cooking, and she was preparing, and she was cleaning, and she was doing those things that you would say a good hostess should do. She was taking care of her guest, and she came to Jesus, and the scripture says that Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She was overloaded. And finally, she came to Jesus and she said, dost thou not care? Here we go again. Do you not care, Lord? Dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Have you ever looked at what other people are doing? It's like, Lord, do you not care that they're sitting on the couch and I'm working? Lord, do you not care that they're out making their money and I'm here giving my little pence? Lord, do you not care that there's a work to be done and everybody's, it's like construction project. Two people working and 10 people watching them. You've seen that? You go on, and I know there's some safety issues. You got to have someone watching sometimes, but sometimes I wonder, you know, one or two people doing the work and everybody else just kind of standing around and, could you not start to resent that a little bit? What should this man do? Lord, you told me to feed your sheep, but what about this man? What's John going to do? In essence, he said, mind your own business, Peter. He said, what is that to thee? Feed my sheep. I'll take care of John. You do what you're supposed to do. She came as like, Lord, do you not care? I'm bearing the load and no one's there helping me. Seems like I'm doing most of the work and I'm busy and I'm stressed out and I'm trying to do a good work. Seems like I'm kind of doing it by myself. Lord, do you not care? Do you know what the end result of that was? The Lord wanted her to get a lesson. Her priorities were different than Christ. Her priorities were different. Sometimes if you wonder where the stresses of life are burdening us down, and it seems like you're carrying the load, and you kind of wonder, Lord, do you not care that I have all of this work to do? And maybe we need to start readjusting our priorities. We can get too encumbered with the affairs of life and the things in life that we're so busy and so stressed and so burdened down that we don't have time to relax with family. We don't have time to come be in service. We don't have time to make the phone call or go visit someone the Lord wants us to go visit. We don't have time for that because, Lord, I'm even in the Lord's work, Lord, I'm so busy. And I'm stressed and I'm feeling all this pressure. And you should have seen me in the office last night. I wanted to take a picture and send it to Renee. I was out in the office and we're in the middle of printing the gospel truth and working on the song books and I'm not boasting, trust me. And I was working on song books for next edition, going through making corrections on the Evening Light hymnal and the gospel truths printing over here and trying to prepare for the meeting in Prague and I have papers lined up, my desk is piled and all over the floor and I was just like, what am I doing? I'm multitasking. And it's like, wait. Sometimes you just need to calm down. One thing at a time. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Lord, do you not care? Yes, but you're encumbered about. Does anybody else feel that way ever? Maybe we need to start readjusting our priorities. Because He does care. When Lazarus was sick and about to die, and they came to Jesus and said, you know, your good friend, he's about to die. Your good friend, he's about to die. You need to come or he's going to die. And Jesus took his time, didn't he? And when he finally showed up a few days later, Lazarus was already buried. He was in the tomb. And both Mary and Martha separately, basically, in essence, they said, Lord, if you would have been here. Lord, if you would have cared more, if you would have cared enough, this wouldn't have happened. You know the story. Jesus wept. Mm-hmm. Why did he weep? Because he cared. Sometimes the greatest disappointments that come our way, it's not because Jesus doesn't care. He cares, he weeps with us, he cries with us, and then there came a time he said, show me where Lazarus was buried. And he went and he brought Lazarus forth from the dead. It was for the glory of God. Your storms this morning, will you trust the Lord enough to know that he can depend on you? Can he depend on you to let you go through a storm to accomplish good in someone else's life? Are you willing to suffer if the Lord can use your suffering to talk to someone else, to soften their heart to God? I've seen the Lord do this multiple times. Through suffering, He was able to visit with someone and soften their heart. And that's when you say, Lord, if that's what it takes, if you can get good out of this storm, and I'm sitting here wondering, Lord, if you cared, but He's saying, I do care, but I care about them, so will you suffer that I can talk to them? Are you willing to go through a storm for someone else this morning? The Lord has not forsaken His people. We have a great high priest this morning that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is moved with compassion and He cares this morning. And that is why the scripture in 1 Peter 5:6-7, it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Casting what? All your care, all your worries, your burdens, your concerns, your stresses, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. Does He care this morning? You may be in a storm, and in a fleshly sense, I would tell each one of you, I'm sorry. I don't like to see you suffer. I don't like to know the things in your past that have hurt you. I don't like to see people's relationships, people's marriages, people's children. It breaks my heart. And yet, And yet, the Lord cares. And He is going to work through the storms to accomplish the greatest good that He can. So, Lord, help me to trust You. Increase my faith. Give me perspective when the storm comes. And I would like to close with this morning. And I probably will not pronounce his name right, and someone may be able to help me out. But it was Charles Weigel. He was a songwriter. He lived from 1871 to 1966. He was a well-known evangelist, and he was on the road a lot. One day, he came home, and he found a note on the table from his wife. She said, "I can't do this anymore." She said she'd had enough of being evangelist wife, and I would assume there would probably be more to it than that, if knowing human nature. But she said, "I can't do this anymore." She said, "I'm leaving." She said, "I'm taking my daughter, and I'm going to the city." And he was heartbroken. He had been trying to serve the Lord. He was in the boat. And his wife said, "I'm done." Talk about heartbreak. And he wondered what he could do to restore their marriage, and wonder what he could have done differently, and how could he continue even serving the Lord if he couldn't preserve his own marriage? Natural thoughts. He considered suicide, and I read different histories on this, but one of them said he was out on a pier at night, and the water was there, and the devil just came in and said, "You might as well just jump off and drown." He said, "No one cares." He said, "Your wife doesn't care about you anymore. Your wife doesn't care." You know, it's the enemy's job to make you think no one else cares about you too. He said, "No one cares, and you know, God doesn't care either. You can't even keep your marriage together." He considered suicide, struggling in the flesh. How can I make it through? And years later, his wife got very sick and called for him to come to her deathbed. She said, "Will you forgive me for what I did?" And he prayed with her. What if that was the means of her salvation? I don't know what all happened, but what if that was the means of her salvation? Was it worth it? Hard. And yet, at the end of her life, she repented of the wrongs that she had done. And when he was struggling so much, it was even after then that he was struggling with suicidal thoughts. No one cares. My wife didn't care about me. God brought me. God doesn't care either. The Lord began to speak to him, and he went, got in the piano, is where he did his music, and he penned the words to this song. "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in Him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something no other friend could do." The chorus says, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." And this is a well-known song. "No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me." This morning, the Lord has not forsaken you. You may be in a storm, but He cares. And when you question, when you are suffering, when you are hurting, when your pillow is wet with tears at night because of the burdens that you are carrying, I want you to remember that Jesus is in the boat and you are going to make it, and He cares for you. So let's stay faithful. Amen.